Diving right back into it here on a Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, Basement Tuesday, Tooth Butter Tuesday. That's what somebody said I ate when that thing hit me in the Never heard it described.
I never did either. That makes me sick to my stomach, and I'd kind of forgotten about it and moved past it. Now we got to bring it back up again.
Appreciate it. 913-586-7965. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you food-wise?
Food-wise? Yeah. Have you had hair in your food when you went to... Of course. Yeah. I've always had... I used to find hair as a child all the time.
Are you done when that happens?
Yeah, I send it back. They give you a new meal.
You don't even eat?
I'll take a new meal.
I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, you're done.
Oh, you're not eating there. Dude, I had a hair and enchilada one time, and I didn't know it. It was like one of those like out of... And I was like, appetite's gone, dude.
Yeah.
Gone. They're like, sir, we're so sorry. We'll make you pay for it. I'm like, that's fine. Bring me another margarita. No food.
Yeah, you're done at that point. Okay.
Like chips and salsa?
Nothing.
Oh, all right. Have you been back to that restaurant?
Of course.
Of course you have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
exactly.
I didn't really complain. I just went to the person. I was like, hey, by the way, I was like, there was a hair in my enchilada. I don't want another meal. Just bring me another margarita. They didn't charge for the margarita. And they took the meal off. So my bill was still like $25.
$25, for that one margarita that you had. Yeah.
But it's all you needed. It's like going to Ponax. You ever been there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Absolutely.
You been to Ponax? Take the mom to Ponax. Don't drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get one margarita and you'll look like Steve Buscemi and Big Daddy.
That you will. Absolutely.
What's up, crazy eyes?
Yeah. And if you invite your mom's friends, let us know. We may show up.
I thought it was interesting because I hate to be this guy. I really, really do. I'm really, really starting to like Bill Belichick.
Well, look, I don't think anybody in this league's unbeatable, but I think that I think they found a way to win here in spite of the situation that they've been in. They had some receiver issues in this game, as did San Francisco. So they had a couple of guys that were hurt, then Juju got hurt, and they've had issues at running back. I think once they get everybody back out there, they'll be better offensively. But in the meantime, they find a way to win. And I think if you look at the end of the game where Patrick's rating is like 44 or whatever it was, he's over there celebrating, high-fiving, happiest guy on the field that they won. And you win in a kicking game, you win on defense, and then you do enough on offense to win. Sometimes it goes the other way around. Sometimes they score 45 points and the defense gives up 42. But, you know, he makes one play right here. And honestly, with everything else, it was one of the most important plays of the game down the sideline. So a good team does what they have to do to win. That's what a good team does. And, you know, could they play better? Sure. And I'm sure that Coach Reed will be on them today and tomorrow, Wednesday, about, hey, here's the things we got to improve. And if they improve them, they'll be even harder to beat.
Boy, that sounds like a guy that's just getting laid.
Yeah, it really does, right? Like Bill Belichick
doesn't even sound like the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
And I know
he's talking about
our hometown team, and it sounds great because it's the Chiefs, but tell me what he said wrong there.
No, and I heard him on the Manning cast last night, and to take your point one step forward, he was talking about Ed Reed last night, and the way that he was talking about Ed Reed, it was like he was talking about his own child. Mm-hmm. This guy was glowing about Ed Reed and talked about how he would have on special teams with the Patriots when they played the Ravens an Ed Reed package and a non-Ed Reed package, and if Ed Reed was out there, how much more difficult it was. He was like the hardest guy to ever prepare for, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like on the edge of my seat listening to Bill Belichick, and I'm like engaged with everything that he's saying. And then he started talking about how he's the guy that's responsible for getting Ray Lewis to the Baltimore Ravens. And I was like, okay, I'm in on this one, right? I guess when he was with Cleveland before they moved to Baltimore, he made a trade the year before, got this extra third round pick, and that's what they used to get, you know, Ray Lewis on the team. And so I think Bill Belichick is very, very engaging. And for years, Ryan Witkowski, our former producer, used to sit there and say, oh, Bill Belichick, this is an act. This is all an act by Bill Belichick. And wait till he's done, and you're going to see the real Bill Belichick. And I think we are seeing the real Bill Belichick right now. But you know he loves watching this Chiefs team play because he's like me and believes stats are for losers. And he's talking about Patrick Mahomes with a 40 quarterback rating over there celebrating on the sidelines because all that matters in this game today is finding ways to win. Whether you have to do it with a 33-yard run or laying out Mustafa in the end zone or whatever the case may be, Patrick Mahomes has that innate ability that many athletes just don't have, and that's the ability to win and find ways to win regardless of what the game is dictating and how the game is being played. And that's what happened on Sunday in San Francisco. They won a defensive battle. Defense wins that game, but Patrick Mahomes had arguably the two biggest plays in the game with his legs. That's how it gets done. And I think Bill Belichick is taking a lot of solace and going, hey, this is allegedly the greatest quarterback. He had a 40 rating, but the Chiefs won by what was it, 28-18 or whatever the hell the final score ended up being. Mm-hmm. They won by 10. Mahomes didn't do a whole heck of a lot, but the two biggest plays in the games were done with his legs. And so I think Bill Belichick is reveling in this right now, going, Patrick Mahomes, man, 40 quarterback rating, win by 10. Love it.
I thought it was interesting last night, as somebody said at the halftime show on the ESPN show, that the only way the Chiefs lose is they get blown out, and they don't get blown out.
They don't get blown out, no. And
that's the only way you beat the Chiefs.
The only way you can beat them, and this defense isn't going to allow an opposition to go out there and motorboat them. But it's just another area where this team is just better than you. Like, and I don't want to be like arrogant, but I will be arrogant about this. We're just better than you in the most important aspects of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Better than you at quarterback, better than you at head coach, better than you at general manager, and better than you at defensive coordinator, right? Like, all of the major positions out there, the Chiefs are just better than everybody else, and it's not even close. Best quarterback, best head coach, best general manager, best defensive coordinator in the NFL. They're just better than you.
But we can admit that they need to add somebody.
Of course they do. Yes. And
I'm tired of these fans, and it's not just the text line, but it's like Twitter as well, where people are just like, we know they're not going to add anybody. It's like, I don't know that, because when they lost Hollywood Brown, I was like, okay, yeah. Some people were like, they're not going to add anybody, are they? I was like, I can't really see it. I think they trust their room. You lose Rashee Rice, you're like, maybe. Or maybe this is when Remigio gets to get called up. But now it's like, you don't have Juju Smith-Schuster with a hamstring injury. To me personally, I think Nico Collins, Mac, got a hamstring injury. He was on the IR four games.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is going to go on the IR probably. Yep. He's going to miss four games.
Yep.
This is an epidemic. Juju's going to miss four games with the hamstring, because the hamstring thing, we all know it. It's not rocket science, what I'm about to say. Rest is all you can do.
The only
thing. You have to put wraps on it, ointments, whatever it is, and you cannot walk. You just have to sit down and do some stretches and whatever it is, and it's a four-week thing. So if it takes 4 weeks, IR, don't get carded for a roster spot, bring somebody up. But Deontay Johnson is a name that keeps coming out. He obviously said he's not happy in Carolina. Who would be?
Right. Look, I can tell you this. We're not the only ones as a fan base that want a wide receiver. There are some in the organization like, we got to get somebody in this spot.
You can't have Sky Moore out there.
When you look around and you see Sky Moore, Justin Watson, and Nico Remigio is like your three starting wide receivers, you're like, all right, we need some help out here. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But it just keeps coming. Like, the fans who say, we're not going to do anything. That's a lie. This organization right now, I can tell you, Brett Veach right now is trying to get something done. The problem does become A, compensation, B, how much do you have to spend, and C, if somebody wants to trade with you, and then D, who's waving the white flag. Carolina should be waving the white flag at this point in time, and the Chiefs should be in on Deontay Johnson. The Chiefs should be in on Darius Slayton as well, and they are. It's just a matter of finding a way to get these deals done that makes sense for the Chiefs, and getting somebody to part with a wide receiver to make Kansas City better. Because when you go to the owners' meetings now and you take that funny picture in February, everybody's going to be kicking the ass of the general manager who gave the Chiefs the wide receiver that let him go to three straight Super Bowls, right? So that is something that they're living with. Like, I know that sounds like it's fantasy football and you don't want to trade, the best guy in your league, the best players and things of that nature. Or if the best guy in your league calls you about a trade, you think you're getting pantsed, right? Like that's the feel around the NFL right now. Brett Veach calls, they're like, oh boy, he's going to try to screw us out of something. We don't even know what it is, but he's going to screw us out of it. So we're not even going to take his phone call. So it becomes increasingly harder. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just laying out what's out there. But the fact of the matter is, this organization is working right now to get a wide receiver. That I know for a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can allude to this. Like, I understand that in the past, it's like, oh, it's going to be a name that doesn't really do it for you, right? Like, when they got Juju this offseason, everyone's like, can he still play? But, like, it works in the system. That's a perfect example of, like, Juju Smith-Schuster didn't even have 130 yards receiving last year. He did it in one game with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So, like, when people are like, oh, what's Darius Slayton, Deontay Johnson going to do on the roster for the Chiefs? Watch.
Yeah, get exactly. Ready. Get ready to watch and see.
Well, and I think some fans have that thought last year or this year because of last year's, like, well, the Chiefs had this problem last year. They didn't get anyone. They only got McLaurin. And yeah, that's true. But the Chiefs knew.
But again, as Andy said, somebody familiar with the offense, McCall Hardman was that guy.
Well, and the Chiefs also knew, hey, we've got this guy, Rashee Rice. We know that he hasn't shown in the first 8 weeks, but we know what's coming. And what came in the last 10 weeks of the season, 14 weeks.
He was on the come.
He was on the come. And we saw it this season. He was a top 10 wide receiver in the league.
Correct. And you had Hollywood Brown. It wasn't like they went in this season with the cupboard bare. The cupboard became bare really fast. It's like when the kids tell you at home there's no food in the house, you go grocery shopping, they eat everything on the first day. Well, there's nothing left for the next 2 weeks because you ate everything on the first day. Chiefs happened to lose everybody on the first day. They prepared for it. They were ready for the start of the season. Hollywood Brown gets injured on the first play of the preseason. He's done for the year. Rashee Rice gets injured. He's done for the year. Nobody has the backups on their roster or their practice squad or the ability to fill those big losses on any team in the NFL. There's 53 guys on a roster plus practice squad, right? I mean, look at Tampa right now. They lost Mike Evans and Godwin last night. Do you think they have a wide receiver tree down there in Tampa?
Screwed.
I mean, receivers, like Texline said, receivers are dropping like
Like flies. I mean, you mentioned Nico Collins. Like, everybody's losing guys right
Nico
now.
Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice,
DK Metcalf,
Chris Godwin.
DK Metcalf should be able to play.
Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. Now Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. Yeah. Now Debo Samuel has pneumonia.
Right? His lungs are filled with water.
Like, I mentioned this last week. Like, it's, I know it's hit home for the Chiefs with injuries, but this year just seems egregious with injuries.
It does.
I don't know if it's just because it's happening here, but it just seems like I watched that game last night and I just told myself every week two people in a game are getting hurt. No matter what, whether it's on the same roster, whether it's 1v1, two people are getting hurt in every single game.
And that's why, again, when you look at what goes on in the NFL, I keep coming back to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Brett Veach, Steve Spagnuolo. Mm-hmm. Find me a Mount Rushmore in the NFL that is better than that. Find me four players in an organization that are even close to the level of those four guys that we have here in Kansas City. I mean, the text that I was getting from friends yesterday about Steve Spagnuolo, oh my God, put him in the Hall of Fame, put up a statue, like, all this kind of stuff. Like, people have bought in big time to Steve Spagnuolo. And I think a lot of people have realized and have adjusted a little bit. We're a defense running team. We talked about it yesterday. Marty Ball, which is perfect as we get ready to take on the Raiders, Marty's biggest rival. Like, we're playing the Marty Ball style of offense here in Kansas City right now. And the Marty Ball style of defense, only we're playing it on steroids and we're playing it better than Marty could have ever played it.
Before we get to the tease, do you want to see a gross food story? Or do you want to hear about it?
Sure.
Fingernail on my McChicken. Ah! It was in the mayonnaise. Oh. You asked. Oh. I delivered. Coming up, Dayton Hughes. He'll join the show here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Tuesday's taking off. You want some more gross food stories?
Nope, okay. I do not. I'm good. I am good with gross food stories.
Come on. No, you know what, another one?
You know, when I was a kid,
lady brought turnovers to work. They were quite literally filled with hair. My coworker threw up.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
People are into it.
When I was a kid, I went to a baseball camp, and I remember going through the line to get like lunch. And the cook was sweating, and his sweat was dripping into the spaghetti sauce. And so I did not eat that spaghetti sauce. How nasty is that?
Yeah, the only time I ever went to Golden Corral, the guy cutting the prime rib was literally sweating.
The sweaty meat carver. My wife used to call the sweaty meat carver.
He's like, you want some from the end or the center? I was like, is the soft serve machine open and nobody's touching it? It is. I'll go get a twist cone. Thank you.
I see, I'm not a buffet guy. I was not a buffet guy before COVID. Even still, though,
Vegas has elevated buffets.
It does, but the problem is if you go overboard, you're effed for the entire weekend you're there because your stomach is so full. And you feel like for paying $50, you got to eat all this food. So for me, like, I'm done with like the Brazilian steakhouses in Las Vegas. I'm done with the buffets in Las Vegas. It gets to the point where it just ruins the entire weekend and then you can't drink. So I've punted on the buffets there as well. But this was pre-COVID. I didn't. Like the stuff, but we had a cook in college named Rita, and her derriere was very flat. You could like rest your drink on it, but she used to stir the soup with her arm.
Did she have like hands?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I didn't know she was just nubbing it.
Yeah. No, she had a hand. Yeah.
Okay.
I just stuck that arm in there. She used to come up from Iola every day to Lawrence. She would stir that soup with her arm.
816 Subway on Barry Road, drippy nose over the sandwiches.
Nope.
What's that fish that's like really terrible? Like gefilte fish or like
there's a lot of fish that's
terrible.
No, there's
one that starts with like an L that like Andrew Zimmern wouldn't even eat, who does like bizarre fish. Lutefisk. Or Lutefisk or something like that. It's like no, Lutefisk, yeah. Yeah,
lutefisk.
No. It's like lutefisk. It's like literally sits in lime that like you bury bodies with.
Well, they put fish in lime. It's usually a ceviche.
Mm. I bet if you went to Vegas, you'd eat at a buffet. If you and I were together, you would, because we'd have like a gummy bear on the strip, and then you'd be like, "We gotta find somewhere to eat."
I'd go to In-N-Out. I mean,
they have those in Vegas?
Yeah, there's one right off the strip.
Oh.
But nah, it's not. I can't do the buffet. It just bloats me.
The Jimmy buffet?
Yeah, it just ruins me for the week. I'm like, maybe a breakfast buffet I could do, but like.
Last buffet, I don't know if it's a buffet, but I was telling you guys a story in Jamaica. I thought it was just regular, like 2% milk.
Oh, yeah, you said it was like goat milk or something.
Warm goat milk.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
The worst.
Didn't you say it was like thick?
Oh, it was like basically a cream, dude. I went over to the guy. They just had a beautiful spread. You know, they have like those beaches and sandals and stuff like that. Beautiful setup. Kiwi, strawberries, watermelon, fruit, plantains. Guy's making an omelet station. I'm like, ooh, I really want a glass of milk. Went over there, swashed it down about 4 ounces. It was warm. Tasted like Elmer's glue. I just went, what? What was that? Goat milk, man. Good morning. I was like, I'll be right back. And I mean, I was cured, though. I'll tell you that.
No, not a chance. No.
But I love cottage cheese. No, serious question here. If you don't work at receiver, corner, right?
Yeah, I don't know. How many people have made that transition,
if you can't play they make it like in high school.
Yeah.
If you can't play the 6-string guitar.
You play the 5-string.
You play the bass.
Oh.
Right? Most bassists will tell you I wasn't talented enough to play the guitar. I say that because that's Mark Hoppus's quote from Blink 182. They asked him why he became a bass player. He's like, well, I wasn't good enough to play the guitar, and Tom's actually can shred.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will disagree with that, but he can't. Why not Sky Moore at like a slot corner? If there's ever a system that can work, because he's done a receiver. No one's throwing him out there to be a receiver. Guy can't catch. I don't care if the ball was catchable or not. Get out of here, right? And
You can't trust him now. I mean, he's been given
receiver.
Right. He's been given two opportunities now. And if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're kind of having PTSD from what happened last year with your wide receivers.
Well, this is now three opportunities this year that he's had.
Yeah.
All three he's dropped.
He's dropped all three of them. Yes.
Three targets, three drops, no catches.
Yeah.
Like, Wanya Morris has more catches, yards, and touchdowns than Sky Moore this year and last year combined.
I don't see why that's surprising to you.
He's a left tackle.
So it's Sky Moore.
Just saying, like, I mean, it's a left tackle and Sky Moore.
Yeah.
So
you want to move? I think he's too short to be corner. And I think right now you're so depleted at wide receiver, you'll sign Danan up to play.
You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire, baby.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Danan Hughes joins us here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey. It's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danan, am I crazy, or should they let Sky Moore try to become a corner?
You're crazy.
Okay.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Not the first nor the last time I'll be told that.
Yeah, the transition would not necessarily be effective. I think at the cornerback position, it's one thing to be a wide receiver playing against corners, and you know their movements, and you know how to set them up and bait and all that stuff. You know how to go against corners, but then to play corner, I just don't think that's feasible. I remember Troy Brown was a wide receiver for the Patriots that played corner some. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of people may not realize Joe Horn, when he was with the Chiefs, when we were playing together in the mid-90s, they actually moved him over to corner for a little bit before he took over at wide receiver and then obviously went on to the Saints and had a great career. So it can be done. I just don't think that Sky Moore – and to be honest, I don't see any receiver that comes to mind that I would think, you know what, they would be a really good cornerback in the NFL.
Dane and I was sitting around yesterday in some idle time thinking, damn, I wish the Raiders were a true rival again. Like, I miss the days of, you know, Marty. I miss the days when you played and it was a big deal and you hated these guys and you hated Al Davis and Carl and Al would fight and Lamar didn't like them. And, like, it was a real true rivalry. Obviously, that's dissipated over the last, you know, 25 years because the Raiders have not been any good. But when you were walking into Raider Week, when you were playing with Marty and those guys back in the day, it was definitely a different feeling than it was any other week, wasn't it?
Oh, the animosity was real. The hate was real. I always tell the story that back then, let's say we played the Raiders week two or week five or week six, and we would literally come into the locker room from playing the game before. So the clock hit zero. We're playing the team before we play the Raiders the next week. We hadn't even gotten into the locker room to take our equipment off, to hear Marty do the rally speech, to get in the shower, to the press coming in, and there were already signs around the locker room that says, Raider Week, F the Raiders. Like, it was automatic transition that before we even talk about the win or loss that we had the week before, we got into the locker room and on the dry erase boards and the chalkboards, and I don't know if they sent an equipment manager in there or what, but that's how quick the transition was. So the hate and animosity was very, very real. And I feel like there's still remnants of it, not necessarily to the height of those years because Al Davis is no longer with us and it's just not been as competitive. But this week, like, they're the last team to beat us.
Yes.
And I feel like if you're Andy Reid, if you're Matt Nagy, Steve Spagnuolo, that's what you're echoing in the locker room. Hey, these guys ruined your Christmas last year. These guys were the last ones to beat you. These guys made fun of Patrick Mahomes' voice. And you had the whole incident with Max Crosby just kind of pushing and shoving on Patrick in the past years and all of that. So I feel like there's ways to create that animosity, but I don't think it'll ever be as heightened as it was back in the 90s.
Well, and you're right. That's the last time the Chiefs lost Christmas Day. 12 straight wins, 10 months since they last lost a football game. It'd be over 10 months by the time we play this game on the 27th. And, you know, I know when the schedule came out, I heard from some folks right away, circle 10-27 on your calendar, get your popcorn ready. Now, it's a little bit different with the injuries right now, but I still believe that the Chiefs do have ass-kicking on their mind this week.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a mindset of, you know, and going back, we're talking about the Marty Schottenheimer days, and I remember this vividly in regards to ways to win and mindsets about winning. Win the games at home and beat who you're supposed to beat. Mm. And by all accounts, we're supposed to beat the Raiders. And that's a recipe for success to get you into the postseason. And then, obviously, Andy Reid has unlocked that vault and how to get to the Super Bowl better than Marty did, but that is still a recipe for success. And we are the better football team this week, so we should go out there at Arrowhead West and make sure that we show that. I mean, they still have to have some sore feelings that we won more postseason games in their stadium than they have. We won a Super Bowl there, and we know how to get the job done. So Max Crosby, I know there's some turmoil going on with their organization getting rid of Davante Adams and having a revolving door at the quarterback position. And Antonio Pierce seems to be rubbing guys the wrong way with his intensity. But they're going to come out and fight. Like, that's what you know about the Raiders, that they're going to come out and fight. And on any given Sunday in the NFL, doesn't matter if you're the better team or not, you can get beat. And I think that was no more evident than Christmas Day last year when we allowed them to come in Arrowhead and beat us.
Dana, I don't want to talk about Christmas Day last year, but what I do want to talk about is week three in the 1996 season. You know who led the Chiefs in receiving that day?
No, I don't.
Dayton Hughes, 3 catches, 45 yards. Yeah. Chiefs beat the Raiders 19-3. I bring this up because you were in that era of what everybody coined as Marty Ball. And I think the Chiefs have kind of like not gone, I guess you could say gone retro with it. I mean, I could totally see this being the final score of the game on Sunday, 19-3, just kind of a defensive dominance. Like, I mean, in this game, Derek Thomas had two sacks, five tackles. And it's not like the stats blow you away, but the game isn't close. Mm-hmm. It's a 16-point victory. It's that Marty Ball type, like run the ball, get yardage, time of possession, and just get a couple scores in the red zone.
Yeah, what I know about Marty Ball, and that's really cool you bring that up, because I do remember the game now. I remember running a seam route and almost getting decapitated by a safety and catching the ball up the seam from Steve Bono, but I didn't know I led the team in receiving that day. But it is reminiscent of Marty Ball, and the one thing about Marty Ball was that we just figured out ways to win, and it wasn't necessarily always pretty. It wasn't an air attack at times. I mean, you go back to the Monday Night Miracle in 94. We threw the ball all over the lot against the Broncos to win that game, and then probably subsequent weeks after that, we ran the ball. So whatever it takes is what it takes. And if this team is going to be kind of reminiscent of that, then great. Let's get 14 wins, 15 wins, and go into the playoffs as the number one seed, get a bye, and then see how we fare in the postseason going for this three-peat. But if we can run the ball, I know offensive linemen, even going back to those days with Grunhard, Zott, Will Shields, John Ault, I believe, was out there, and Ricky Sigler, they love to run. They wake up to run the ball. And the offensive linemen now, you can kind of get the idea that they're liking this whole running attack. I got a chance to interview Juwan Taylor after the game this week. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed Creed Humphrey. Like, these guys love the idea of running the ball down the throat of opponents, especially if it's going to be against the Raiders. So, I know we have the greatest quarterback alive. I know we have the greatest tight end alive. I know we have the greatest defensive lineman in the game. But maybe, just maybe, we might become one of those teams that run the ball, play action, and make you pay and nickel-diming you down the field and just wear you down as opposing defenses. And I'm cool with that as long as it equates to a win.
And it seems like Mahomes has embraced that now as well. This time last year, I don't think he was embracing yet the nickel and diming of teams to win games. He was still trying to, you know, hit the home run, the $100 bill, and all that kind of stuff. But now he understands, I can win the game handing off. I can win the game on the backs of my defense. I can win the game with a 33-yard run. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes now has finally embraced winning in multiple different ways, whichever the way the game dictates. And that should be scary for the rest of the NFL.
And it's really cool to think about. I mean, with all the success of Patrick Mahomes and what he's been able to accomplish in this short career so far, the fact that in this season he's willing to embrace that he doesn't have to carry the weight of the team on his shoulders completely, that's pretty darn impressive. And it shows his maturity as well. So I think here in the Chiefs Kingdom, we should relish the fact that if he has to go into that tank and deliver in a way to throw the ball all over the lot, that he's willing to do so, but he's also willing to defer to the run game and trust Matt Nagy, trust Andy Reid, that they're going to put together a game plan that's going to get us a win. And it kind of brings you to the mindset right after the Super Bowl, right where we're going this week, in Vegas, where they were already talking about a three-peat. They were already thinking about the next Super Bowl championship. And this is one way to get there. Like, every year is going to be different. The idea that every year Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 4,000, 5,000 yards, and, you know, he's going to have low interceptions and high touchdowns, and he's going to make some, just amazing type of plays with his arm, that could be just last year. That could be just 2 years ago. And this year could be different. And we've seen that, you know, people will always compare him to Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady didn't do everything the same way every single year. He won different ways. And this might be the year where we win different ways as well.
Yeah, nobody had more of a first impression than Patrick Mahomes did, though, with that 5,000 yards. Like, that's seemingly the expectation every single mm-hmm. year now for Patrick Mahomes. And that's just not the case that he's going to do that.
Well, I mean, think about Dan Marino. Even Patrick Mahomes says he thought Dan Marino was the greatest quarterback to ever play the game because of what he was doing back in the 80s. Well, he did that every single year. How many Super Bowls did he get? None. He got to one. So it's one thing to have the ability to do something every single year and it be, you know, well over and above other quarterbacks or other playmakers at the position. It's another thing to be able to adjust and make and get wins. And that's what we're seeing with Patrick Mahomes, is that he's making adjustments. Now, I will say, you know, 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, not necessarily the recipe that I'm sure he wants to be a part of these wins. And I'm sure he's thinking about how he can be better with the football, but we'll take the wins regardless. And I think that's what we need to kind of focus on. And this game, this opportunity, this task at hand against the Raiders, you drudge up some of that hatred, you drudge up some of that animosity, and you go out there, get a win, and then escape back home.
Speaking of that hatred, Danan, do you have an in-game moment that involved you in the silver and black?
Well, I got in a fight every single game of my career. So somewhere, somehow, there was some tussling going on with the defensive back because we were blocking them too long, or we were too physical, or we cut block. And I would always tell them, if you're gonna commit to not hitting me if I go across the middle and catch a pass, and I'll commit to not cut blocking you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they would not buy into that because they wanted to decapitate us. So the physicality, matching their physicality, you know, some cheap shots here and there. I do remember, you know, beating them on Monday Night Football when Andre Rison caught the ball in the black hole to end the game. Just a dumb play by Chris Dishman, the defensive back, to bait on an out and go in that circumstance. So there definitely was some highlights, obviously playing with Marcus Allen and the animosity that he had towards the organization and wanting to rally for him was really cool. But on the field, it was just very physical. It was always just really, really physical, special teams-wise, as well as playing wide receiver. And that's the part of the game that I loved. I mean, catching the ball, you mentioned those stats, 3 catches, 45 yards, that was cool. But you know, the physicality of the game was what I really remember and what I really cherish.
All right, man. We appreciate the time. Have a good call on Sunday, and enjoy your undefeated streak in that that wonderful stadium that has a really ugly team.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. Danan Hughes on Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Yeah, before the show today, I was like going through old videos to see if I could cut some audio. And that's all I could see is just like Marty just like turn into a new animal.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, it was wild. Marty would cry over this kind of stuff. Like, it was bizarre.
Was it Derek Thomas? He'd wear like a Raiders shirt under his jersey when they played the Raiders.
Oh, did he?
Because there's always like a gray shirt, and then you'd see like, it looks like the fat white guy that's a shooter in the NBA wears the long white sleeve t-shirt. Yeah. Clean would always hate that. I think it's Derek Thomas would wear like a Raiders shirt under his pads.
That's
when he
funny.
The Raiders.
That's
because we hate him that much.
You hate him, yeah. It was a hated rivalry back in the day, man.
My dad will always tell me this. They always hit first. We'd hit second and get flagged for it.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of, and I think he brought that up even this past week because Brian Cook like baited Trent Williams. Like
Brian Cook could have been ejected too.
And then Trent Williams, bam. Yeah, which Trent Williams. We know Trent Williams is a loose cannon because he also punched Richard Sherman back in the day in the middle of a huddle at postgame.
I know, I like
Hit
that.
Hit me the face then. All right.
Boom.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, Raider Week. We'll dive into some of that audio on the other side. Plus, Bob and Mac want to play a game called Guess That Player. It's NBA roster. We'll see how many we can get right. Mac Morenstein, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. Our executive producer, Mac Morey, with us as well. I'm super excited for tonight. The NBA is back.
Let's go.
People in Kansas City are either anti-NBA or quietly all about the NBA. I never really know like where that line in the sand
is. I'm not either. I just don't care. I'm just not a basketball fan. They could be playing in my backyard and I'd probably not watch.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But if someone showed you a playoff game, you'd be like, oh, cool. You wouldn't like be like, oh, this sucks. Would you?
Yeah.
You would?
Okay. I'd have to be drugged there. I'm just not a basketball fan.
You have Yeah, that's what I thought.
No,
too.
No, no. I would have to be drugged there.
I have to be drugged there.
Well, that too,
Bob,
maybe.
How do you like it? You look like Jimmy Carter.
No, I mean, no. It's not my sport.
Fair enough.
Think college basketball is terrible, too, so. Now, this could get me to watch some things.
It's back. Round ball rock, baby. This is a new electric guitar edition.
Like, I'm not a pre- or post-game show guy, but I'll watch the NBA pre-game show, then watch reruns of Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown. She was handsome. All right, anyways, let's get into the bid. Let's see if we can get some rosters. I'll let Bob go guess first, and then I'll try to, like, get in there and make up for it. But I don't know if I'll be able to. I'm just, God, I'm happy the NBA's back.
Why?
Because it's entertaining to me. I like the NBA.
Right. Well, hello there, and good morning. This is Guess That NBA Player. I am your host, Mac Morey, joined by Dusty Likens and Bob Fesco. We will be guessing NBA players, keeping track of points. You get an extra bonus point if you can name that coach. Will we just be going, you know, Bob first, Dusty second kind of thing?
All right.
Okay.
Who's the first name?
First one, Jarrett Allen.
Oh, the former Viking chief. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he was honored in London the other day, like him and OCU Mignora. So that's where I'll go. Minnesota.
Close, but no cigar. Wow. Do I get double bonus points if I can name his college?
Wow. Sure. Well, yeah. Right.
Former McDonald's All-American, University of the Texas Longhorns, and plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's true.
Which is Rob Brenton's favorite team.
He's
a Cavs fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, that's the best
thing. David Blatt's the head coach of Cleveland. Do I get a bonus point?
There we go.
There you go. See, we're a good team here.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, that's the beauty of the NBA in Kansas
City.
He's
not the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers anymore, though.
Oh.
The best part about being a basketball fan in Kansas City is you don't have a team.
Yep.
Right? It's like hockey. Like, for some reason, Binkley loves the Blues because they're in St. Louis.
That's right.
But I root for the Dallas Mavericks. I love Luka Doncic. Patrick Mahomes is a big Dallas fan, so you can kind of get into that. But yeah, you don't have to have a team. Yeah, Rob Brenton, Cavaliers.
Cavaliers fan, huh?
Yeah.
All right, good for
him. I root for the Dallas Mavericks and LeBron James.
Okay.
LeBron James.
I used to be a huge LeBron fan, and then the...
Now you hate him.
it's run its course.
I could go on a topic here about LeBron James if his son fails about his legacy in L.A., but we have a game show to play.
Yeah, but I think that's something that everybody could look at and say, you know what? You may be right about that. His legacy.
What's Bronny James over under in points tonight?
Oh, half.
Yeah, if it's 0.5, honestly.
Are you taking the over under, or the under on that?
Over.
Under.
You went like 1 for 26 in preseason.
Yeah,
dude sucks.
That's embarrassing. He may not even see the floor, but you know he will.
He'll see the floor early on, then they'll send him to the G League. They'll get the picture of him and LeBron together, and then it'll be done.
Who's going to have that conversation with LeBron and say, your son isn't good enough, we're sending him to Palo Alto?
I want LeBron to act like Deion Sanders does about his kids. How do you think about Shiloh's performance tonight? He was terrible.
Look, Deion's honest about it, right?
Yeah.
Right. But at least Deion's kids can play.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's kid can't play.
Okay.
He couldn't play in college.
All right. This is a little harder for you. Denny Avdia.
Oh, that's the guy who pitched for the Royals against the Yankees. Yeah. We sent him down to the minors. Alta Vista.
Alta Vista.
New York Knicks.
That is a second-year player out of Israel for Portland Trailblazers.
Portland.
I believe it's second year. Maybe it's third year. But
Portland, sneaky team.
Younger guy.
Sneaky.
Are they still in business in Portland after they, traded, what's his name last year? Jamal Murray?
Oh, yeah, they traded Damian Lillard. Yeah, they're still in business. That team is going to be bad. Not sneaky to me.
Bad as in good bad or bad as in like
ass? As in bottom three ass. Yeah. Let me go. John Collins.
John Collins. Isn't that the drink you order at a bar?
That's a Tom Collins. Used to be a KCTV 5 guy, I think.
John Collins sounds like a guy who plays for Boston.
Or he's the son of Rob Collins. Utah Jazz.
Nice.
I'm on DraftKings, by the way.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm on DraftKings. I'm looking at the Lakers over-under props. I can't find Bronny James anywhere. So I'm not cheating. I'm just Utah
Jazz.
That was
good. He just joined the Jazz.
Utah's head coach, of course, is Quinn Snyder.
Yahtzee no longer.
No longer. Yeah,
no
sorry.
Longer.
Yep, he's the Atlanta Hawks coach.
Yeah,
but
Jerry Sloan.
Yeah, right. He's dead.
He is dead. Yeah.
He died
a long time ago.
Pre-COVID. Yeah.
You guys may know this guy, Will Hardy. I don't know much about Will Hardy.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Never heard of him.
That is
never heard of him.
The Utah Jazz coach. All right, continuing
coaches in the
on.
NBA literally are a dime a dozen.
So Trey Young's going to be an MVP candidate now. He has Quinn Snyder.
That's exactly right.
Probably.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spencer Dinwiddie's a Chicago Bull.
He is not.
No. Sacramento.
No.
Gosh.
It's your favorite team. It's the Dallas Mavericks.
I should have known that. What an idiot.
I love the Mavericks. Spencer Dinwiddie. never.
I like the Mavericks because of Luka Doncic. There's really no other reason.
Luka Doncic and my Celtics destroyed him. It's all good. Going back to back this year. Chris Paul.
He's a Clipper.
He's not.
76ers.
He is not. He is now in San Antonio with our guy, Victor Wembanyama. Oh, I've got audio of you saying that name earlier, Bob. It was quite funny.
Oh, was it? Did I stumble all over myself?
Stick with Wimby.
Exactly. Yeah, same here. Buddy Hield.
Oklahoma.
Hey, I'll give you a point for that, though.
That's actually when I actually paid more attention to college basketball.
He was really good at Oklahoma.
That man put on one of the greatest shows at Allen Fieldhouse I've ever seen.
God, that was a good game.
Who did he go hand in hand with? Was it Sharon? Was it? No, it was.
I don't think it was Sharon. It was. Was it Tyshawn?
He was after Sharon.
Was it Tyshawn Taylor?
Might have been.
I think it was Tyshawn Taylor.
That's one of the best. That was fun. That's one of the best road performance by an individual player I've ever seen.
Question.
In Lawrence. Buddy Hield crossed half court and just made it rain.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield.
And Kevin Durant was headed that way too, but you know he didn't play the second half.
And he had 31. Or almost.
I mean,
I think he had 25 and then went up for a layup, dislocated his shoulder, and I was like, then he actually did sit the rest of the season and go to the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Like Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. gosh. Where is he at? He's not in Sacramento anymore, but he did play in Sacramento,
right? Play in Sacramento.
Is he with Atlanta?
He is not with Atlanta.
Is he with the Knicks?
He's in the Western Conference.
Atlanta. Orlando. He's a Magic.
These are all Eastern teams.
Yeah, those are all East.
Geographically.
It's another Eastern
team. Another East team.
Golden State Warriors.
Oh, that's right.
He was on the Pacers, and he just went to the Warriors.
So he's pulling a Kevin Durant and trying to win a championship.
Exactly. No, he's going to try to be their new Klay Thompson.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because Klay Thompson is playing for who?
Cleveland.
No. Do you have...
L.A.
No.
No, he just
almost went to L.A.
Yeah, he just played the other night, went 0-8 or 0-11 from the three.
It was crazy. Guys getting old, it happens fast.
Yeah, it
sucks. Seattle.
Missed 2 years with a bum ankle.
He's with Dallas.
Oh.
He's attempting to do a KD.
Yeah, he's trying to ride the coattails of a championship.
But he's already got him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got three.
I'm just making sure we're all on the same page.
Three or four.
Yeah.
So what does he want to be, like Charles Haley and get seven or however many he has?
Yeah, he's got four. Him, Steph, and Draymond all have four. Draymond's still in the league.
Is Draymond going to be on the pregame show tonight?
Gosh, yeah.
He might be on the postgame show at halftime.
It's true. Yeah. Get ejected from the game, yeah.
All right, last name. It's a name we all know. It's a name we all maybe cherish. At least I did growing up. Loved this guy. Kevin Love.
Miami.
Nice. Coached by?
Eric Spoelstra.
Beautiful.
Most underrated coach of all time in the NBA.
Maybe in sports.
Seriously.
Maybe in sports.
Guy never ages either. It's that nice Miami weather.
Yeah.
That nice almond skin.
Find me a coach who's done more and gets no recognition other than Eric Spoelstra.
Andy Reid.
Good point.
Yeah, touche. Yeah.
No, that's very
you
good.
You are welcome for listening. Yes.
Andy
for
Reid.
For once, I've split the script. No coach of the years ever.
I mean,
one.
Spoelstra gets no recognition. Most people believe that Pat Riley's still the coach of the Heat.
Well, he doesn't
get
recognition because they had the big three in Miami when he was there, but yet he took them all the way to the finals with our guy. I'm drawing a blank of his name.
LeBron?
No, the guy that's there now.
Oh, Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
God, I love
Jimmy
Butler.
Appearances, yeah.
Yeah, he's done more without LeBron.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's not just he won because LeBron was there. Again, you set this, preconceived notion that, 50 and 5,000 for Mahomes. Well, Spoelstra only wins with LeBron. Actually, that's not true.
And LeBron didn't want him hired, and Pat Riley said, shut up, I'm hiring him.
Text line comes through in the clutch from the 816 and the 913 was Buddy Hield versus Frank Mason.
Oh, Frank Mason.
Oh, wow. Little Frank.
All right, Frank Mason. He kind of goes unremembered.
Who got drafted by?
Sacramento.
That's right. Nice job.
Didn't work out.
Somebody says, as a big NBA fan, this segment is painful. Well, you get the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mac is hardcore in the NBA. I'm mid-core in the NBA, and Bob Fesco is softcore porn in the NBA.
I don't even know that's on.
Yeah, Bob is the Passion Cove of Cinemax in 1997, if you remember that.
Give me a random hockey game on ESPN Plus.
Really? Okay, gotcha.
I think we relate to basketball more because we played it.
Yeah.
And we have college teams that are pretty well to follow, like Kansas, K-State, and Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Missouri is going to win a conference game this year.
They didn't last year.
Was that last year?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Frank Haith, baby, doing things at Missouri.
That's right.
You got to have faith in that guy, don't you? Faith in Haith?
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Like that. Yeah. Spoelstra is the only coach that Braun couldn't get fired. That is true.
Yep.
It is.
That's
why he left Miami. Well, if you're not going to fire the coach, I'm going back to Cleveland.
Like, wait, I'm not in charge?
And then I'll get David Blatt fired six games into the season and bring on Mike Edwards or whoever was his coach.
You said Spoelstra was underappreciated.
Yeah.
You think the Chiefs might be underappreciated on the other side.
I always think the Chiefs are underappreciated.
It's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, the answer to the question, where are we going to park? It's easy when you're headed to the airport. It's Park and Go. They have an unbelievable facility.